Three items on the menu today on Writer's Voice. Impeachment.
What the House does matters. That's an impeachment. The Senate then tries it. If the House does its job and the Senate decides not to do its job, if they decide not to take it seriously, then you take that to the voters.
That's John Nichols of The Nation and author of The Genius of Impeachment. Then Bernie and Warren are friends. Should their supporters be too?
Between them, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have widened the left lane of American politics. You know, some of these are ideas like Medicare for all that Bernie's been talking about for literally decades. But the point is that his consistency is really important, but so is Elizabeth Warren's deft and persistent pushing at the boundaries of what's politically possible.
That's D.D. Guttenplan of The Nation. We talk with him about his editorial, "We Don't Have to Choose Between Warren and Sanders Yet." Finally, we check in with Les Leopold, author of Runaway Inequality and founder of runawayinequality.org, about the current state of income and wealth inequality today. That's all coming up on today's Writer's Voice. Thanks for joining us this hour on this station and at writersvoice.net. I'm host and producer Francesca Rhiannon. John Nichols is no stranger to the issue of impeachment. He wrote a book in 2006 titled The Genius of Impeachment, and then he wrote the foreword to a more recent book calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump. Now that House Democrats have begun an impeachment inquiry, Nichols lays out in a recent piece in The Guardian, Pelosi announces an impeachment inquiry, now Congress has to get it right. The steps he thinks need to be followed. I started out by asking him about the first step he lists, be focused.
I think that's perhaps the most important thing. And that is, at this point, Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats in the House have a chance to control the narrative as regards impeachment. They have a chance to define what the issues are, what needs to be addressed, and how to address it. They have to recognize that that is a very powerful place to be, but it's also a tenuous position because Trump and his folks will try to seize the narrative back. And I guess the most important thing to say is that as something of a historian of impeachment, somebody who's studied all the past impeachments and looked at, you know, how this happens, people need to understand impeachment is an incredibly complicated and awesome power, but it is above all a political power, and it is a political act, not a legal act. And so the politics of it do matter. And if you lose control of the narrative, if the person you are trying to impeach succeeds in making it confusing, making it seem difficult, unfair, unfocused, that can affect everything going forward. Keeping focus matters.
When this was first announced, I mean, I've been frustrated with the pace of getting to this point for a long time, as I imagine you probably have as well. Do you think that the Democrats, that Nancy Pelosi was right in holding off as long as she did? Do you think that was an advantage, or do you think they've wasted a lot of time?
I think they could have moved earlier. And I think there are several sort of critical junctures where they might have been able to move, going back to the firing of Comey in 2017, but certainly also some of the revelations as regards the emoluments clause, even over just the last few months, but if you go back further. So, I mean, I think there are points where it might have made sense. I even think that they could have moved in the aftermath of the release of the Mueller report. Forget about his testimony, but in the aftermath of the release on some of the obstruction issues, these arguments can be made. With that said, the historians, when they look back on this, will say that Pelosi was probably very, very smart to wait until she had something that she, as a very skilled political figure, somebody who knows how to rally the members of her caucus, and also, I think, quite capable of speaking to the nation, where that she saw as workable. I mean, I think we have to recognize that's what it was all about. It was always about where Pelosi thought it was possible and also necessary to move. So we can parse it all sorts of ways. At the end of the day, I think Pelosi looks smart. She looks like she was dragged to it rather than that she jumped to do it. And frankly, for a Speaker of the House who is in the line of succession, that's probably a very good place to be. The final thing I'll say is this. The challenge, of course, is that this is very late in a term. We are literally already in the presidential race of 2020 in many ways. And so the window for moving is narrow, and that is a challenge. You have very real issues that do compel people to pay attention and compel Congress to act. So that can move things quickly. But at the same token, if this gets bogged down, you run the risk of having some really probably untenable circumstances, such as, you know, imagine like a Senate vote on removing the president or not on the night of the Iowa caucuses. I mean, how do you reconcile all this? It is challenging. And so that's the one point where I would say that waiting has put the Democrats, frankly, and everybody into a difficult position.
Yeah, and that leads to your second point, John Nichols, in this article about the impeachment inquiry, and that is be fast. You say they need to set a timetable and follow it. What kind of timetable are you talking about?
I would suggest that the month of October, which is already ticking away, be used to have the key committees, there's six of them, and also, frankly, other players within the House who may have items that they want to raise. Let them have the month of October or most of it. Let them develop files that they then forward to the Judiciary Committee. Let the Judiciary Committee, which has to be the generator, by most logic, has to be the generator of the articles of impeachment, let them develop those articles rapidly. Remember that the investigations have been done. Now it is simply a matter of choices, frankly. Where do you want to impeach? How many articles? What do you want them to involve? Frankly, I think they should be short and sweet. But I would say around November 1st, the Judiciary Committee ought to be acting on that. I think that they should then have a week of robust debate. They can have some witnesses come in on both sides, talk about not really per se the articles themselves, but really about the process and about impeachment and whether it is appropriate to go forward. Have that debate. Have a vote, say, you know, November 8th, 9th, 10th, something like that. And then move it to the whole House, set up a rich, robust, enthusiastic debate, and then have the vote on it before Thanksgiving. I think that's reasonable. That's enough time. I mean, anybody tells you, oh, we need a lot more time, that's silly. I mean, no, it is sufficient. And then I think at that point, you move it to the Senate, it becomes the Senate's challenge to figure out how much it drags out. But I do not think that it's necessary to go more than, you know, the next, say, month and a half.
Yeah, a couple of things come up. First, you say it's important what the content is. Obviously, the Ukraine scandal is going to be a focus. Do you think there need to be some other articles of impeachment?
I do. It's my view that Peter Rodino, really in many ways, is the genius of impeachment. And I wrote a book with that title. And there are, frankly, many geniuses along the way, including some of the founders who explored it in some very important ways.
And who was Peter Rodino?
Peter Rodino was the chair of the House Judiciary Committee during the Watergate inquiry